Well, again, you survived the cold this week. Good to be back in God's house. And take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of John as we continue our study on God the Father. God the Father. I hope you're learning something from this study, and I trust maybe you'll take some notes, take verses down, and go back and read and review as we get through every Sunday and try to recap on some things that we've said. Hope it'll be an encouragement to you. And so let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Father, once again, we're grateful, Lord, for this day that you've given us to be together in your house. Lord, I thank you for each one that's come here today, and I pray, God, you will bless our time together around the Word of God. May the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, teach us things we need to know and to encourage us in our walk with you daily. Lord, please be with those that are sick, those that are hurting, those that lost loved ones recently. I pray, God, you would just help them. Thank you for those, Lord, that have been away for weeks and on vacations and with families through the holidays and all, and they're back with us now, and I thank you for that. Now, Lord, again, as we come together, may the Spirit of God be our teacher today. God, give us that we need for this week. You know what we're going to face. You know where we're going to go. And, Lord, what we're going to have to deal with. So, Father, give us strength from your word, food, that spiritual food, God, that would enable us to bring glory to you in our lives daily. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The last few weeks we've been talking about God the Father. God the Father. As we look at God the Father, of course we know we're talking about the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As we look at these three, we find there's two avenues to learn about God the Father. First of all, we have the written word, the Bible that we have. I'm so glad today that what we know comes from the Bible. I'm glad to know that, you know, I don't base who I believe in upon history books, upon anything else but the Bible. The Bible is my authority for what I believe about God and about his Son. Also, we have the living word. Now, we don't have the living word with us, but we have the recorded living word of Jesus Christ and his life when he was here. And through his life and through the word of God that we have, we can understand better who God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is as we look at them. I said the first Sunday we started this, Jesus speaks over 200 times of the Father alone in the gospel. He talks much about his Father, who he is, what he is. And so as we've been looking so far, we talked last week about the nature and also the character of God. We talked about how, of course, he is the Lord of heaven and of earth. He's the Lord of all. He should be Lord of our life, too, if we knew him personally. He's the supreme ruler of the universe. Not only does he rule it, he sustains it also, the world that we live in. We're talking about God, the Father. He's absolutely perfect. You can't find anything wrong with him. He's the perfect God. He's a perfect God. He encourages us to be perfect also, even as he is. Jesus does that in John. We also see, too, today that last week, we also looked at the source of blessings. All the blessings that we enjoy, our spiritual blessings come from God. We found that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. I'm glad today to know of the blessings that we have. You know, blessings come in many different forms and fashions. But I'm so glad today for the spiritual blessings that God gives us of knowing him, being his child, living for him, and all the things he does for us in our life. God is a great God. God the Father we're talking about. That's his nature. Now, we talked about his character, how we said that one word could easily describe God himself, and that is love, 1 John 4:16. We talked about the agape love, a love that we know nothing about, but we know that God loves much better than we can love. But I also know that with God in us, through his Spirit, we can love before we in a way we couldn't love before we knew him as our Savior. He enables us to be able to love. We talked about what manner, what major way did God prove to us that He loves us. We find that in John 3:16. He gave His Son to come and die for us. His love, God the Father. We also talked about the relationship between Jesus Christ and His Father. We see in the way that Jesus loved and His life that He lived that there was a great relationship. And that relationship was built upon the fact that Jesus obeyed His Father in everything that He asked Him to do. He was obedient to Him. We see also that Christ said to His disciples, if you love Me, keep My commandments also. So we're to, when we keep God's commandments, when we love God the way we ought to love Him, we find this is the way to God's heart. You know, you that have children have grandchildren. You know, the way that your children and your grandchildren get to your heart is when they prove to you they love you. It can be by obedience. It can be by a number of ways. But they have a way to get to your heart, don't they? Well, we have a way to get to God's heart. That is by obeying Him. Obeying His Word. And I'm grateful today that we have that opportunity to do that. We also talked about the miraculous way that God Himself expressed love to His Son. That is through the resurrection. After He died, He raised Him up. He promised He would raise Him up. He was going to die first, but then He was going to be resurrected. And this is God's love towards His Son. Now today, I want us to look in John chapter 6. I want us to look today at salvation. Salvation. I want us to look at the beginning, the introduction, the starting of salvation. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three played a part in salvation. We know that, first of all, that Jesus Christ, in the fullness of time, was sent by God to literally display salvation. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Jesus Christ, God's Son, in the fullness of time, He displayed salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are what? Saved. We're saved through the what? The gospel. The gospel being preached. Yes, God's blood, right. But the gospel we're talking about here is speaking about the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory that which I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Notice, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that who? Christ, what? He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, okay? Now He displayed that. He died. He demonstrated that in His life. He came to die for our sins. See? This is the Son's work in salvation. Notice also in verse number 4, not only did He die according to the Scriptures, but that He was buried and that He what? He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, this is the Son's work in salvation, in the part of salvation. The Father has a part, the Son has a part, and also the Holy Spirit has a part in our salvation. Jesus Christ is displayed. He literally did die for us. He was buried and He rose the third day. He displayed it in His life while He was here. That's why He became a man, so He could die, that we might be forgiven of our sins. He shed His blood on Calvary for us also. Now, let's notice now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's work in salvation. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. If I can find Romans here. A very familiar verse. Romans 1:16. The Holy Spirit of God declares the plan of salvation daily. Daily, the Spirit of God. Notice it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now turn back to John chapter 16. The Spirit of God declares salvation daily. That's His work. The Spirit of God. John 16, look at verse number 7. Nevertheless, Jesus speaking here, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter. Now, who is the Comforter? Holy Spirit. He said, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, when the Holy Spirit is come, this is what He'll do. Notice He says, He will reprove the world of what? Sin and of what? Righteousness and of judgment. Now notice, of sin, why? Because they believed not on Me, Jesus said. He says also, of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Praise God for that time, amen? When he gets judged. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but I cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, as the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, Jesus says, for he shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Now look at verse 15. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, and that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. So we see the work of the Spirit, the work of the Son in salvation. Now, let's go back to John chapter 6, where we were. John chapter 6. The triune God has a part in salvation. John chapter 6, let's look here at the work of the Father. The Father Himself designed the plan of salvation before eternity, in eternity to begin, okay? Whenever eternity began, God the Father designed the plan of salvation, how people were going to be saved, okay? Through His help, through God's Son's help, and also through the Holy Spirit. All three are involved. Now, let's notice today here in John chapter 6, and look at verse number 44. Jesus is speaking here. He said, no man can come to Me. No man can come to who? Jesus. Except the who? Father, which has sent Me. What's those next two words? Draw him. Look at it again. No man can come to Me, Jesus says, except the Father, which has sent Me, draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. And notice here, draw Me, draw him, draw him. The drawing of the Father. No man, Jesus said, can come to Me except the Father, draw him. Now, what does the word draw mean? It means simply to be made willing, to be made willing. It literally can mean drag. Drag. Now, how does the Father drag? How does the Father draw? God the Father begins the process here of salvation. Jesus said, no man can come to the Father except the Father draw him. Draw him. Now, how is that done? What does God use to draw us? To draw us? The Holy Spirit. You can recall the times, and I can too, before I was saved, when I went to Sunday school and to church, especially during church time when the invitation was given. And I stood up, and they began to sing those invitation hymns. It seemed like they were singing forever. And as they began to sing those invitation hymns, there was something moving down within me that I did not know what was going on in my soul. Did you? I didn't know what it was to begin with. But I knew every time I went to church and every time there was an invitation, that same thing would come back to me. And you know what? This was a drawing of the Father. The drawing of the Father. Did you realize, and do I realize, because of our corrupt nature that we have and the people that we are, our sinfulness, just hearing about Jesus and what he did for us would not be enough to convince us that we needed to be saved. Just hearing about Jesus and what he did for us, how he came and died and lived and died and all that for us, if we just heard that, and that's all we heard, that's all we got from God, you and I today would still be lost. But see, it takes the drawing of God the Father. And God the Father gave the Holy Spirit to do that, to draw us, to convince us, to convict us in our souls that we need to be saved. Well, I'm so thankful today for God the Father that draws us to the knowledge of the truth that we were lost and that we needed a Savior. I'm afraid today, in the day in which we live, the generation in which we live, that's a missing factor. There has to be the drawing, the wooing of the Spirit of God in a person's heart in order for them to sincerely pray the sinner's prayer and to be saved. We talk to people about Jesus. We try to explain the scriptures to them. And unless the Spirit of God, God the Father, draws them, they'll never be saved, folks. It's Him. It's God the Father that draws us to Christ, draws us to salvation. He does this. That's what Jesus said. He said, "No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw me, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now I know Acts 4:12 tells us there is no other name under heaven given unto man whereby we can be saved except Jesus' name. I know that. But I'm trying to explain to you today the work of God the Father and what he does to enable us to come to the knowledge of the truth about Jesus Christ and why he came. He came to die for us. And God the Father has this part in salvation. He starts salvation, if you please, working in our hearts by the Spirit of God that he has. In order, when we hear the Word of God, God the Father draws us. Now, unless, I will be this all my heart, unless we're in a place where God's Spirit is, and we know God's everywhere, but I mean the working of the Spirit of God through the Word of God, and hear the message of God, we'll never be convinced that we're lost and get saved. Never. You can go to other places other than a church and hear singing. You can go to other places and have maybe even services. But there's no other place, no greater than the church of God, where you can, by the Spirit of God, be drawn to God. See. So we see here that God the Father begins the process. God the Father, we see the disciples were drawn by the Father in John 17, verse 6 and verse 11. We see they were drawn by the Father. And likewise, you and I also are drawn by the Father. Now, I want us to notice today the work of God the Father. That is, he designed the plan of salvation in eternity. He designed the plan. I'm so grateful today that God the Father loves you and me so much that he devised a plan that you and I could be forgiven of our sin through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit of God, and through God the Father. Now, if you will, take your Bibles and turn over to Romans chapter 8. God the Father He draws us to salvation. He draws us. He speaks to our heart when the Word of God is taught. I'm glad for God the Father instigating or starting, if you will please, the plan of salvation for you and I. It's all because of Him. All because of Him. He again began the process. He begins the process in everybody's heart, in everybody's life, God the Father, by His Spirit. Now notice here in Romans chapter 8, we're looking at something here that reaches from eternity past to eternity in the future. Notice chapter 8, look at verse number 29 and verse number 30. Romans 8, 29 and verse number 30. All of us know verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You see that word? To them who are the what? Called. According to His purpose. That God calls. God the Father calls us. He calls us. Now look at verse number 29. Notice, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now, this is a process, what God is doing here. He's reaching from eternity past to eternity future. If you please, there are five links here that go together, like a chain. You're bringing them together. You know, they've said, we've heard all our life, that a chain that has links in it, the chain is only as strong as what? The weakest link. No matter how many links has got in it, if there's a weak one, that chain will not hold but so much pressure before that link is going to break and you don't no longer have a chain. It's broken. Well, God here is linked together. He's linked together some things concerning our salvation. He's telling us some things here that hopefully will help us and encourage us. Every link here that God's speaking about here was made in heaven. And not one of these links will be broken. It's like a process He's going through here. Foreknowledge, predestination, all these things. He's going through all these things, and none of them will be broken. None of them will be broken as we get into it. We have, first of all, been predestinated to become like the Lord. We've been predestinated to become like the Lord. And we see that in this passage of Scripture here. Also, we see also, we have been called by His grace, called by His marvelous grace. We've been justified through redemption. We will be glorified in the future. Now, what shall we say to all this? This is God's promise to the believer. This is His promise here. Again, if God Himself is to clarify for us, not against us at once, but you know, when we were troubled, our hearts were troubled, and our conscience was guilty before we believed. God's clarified that for us in this process of these things He's talking about here. What power can be against us as believers? What power can be against us? Who can defeat God's will in your life? No one. No one can. Oh, we may be hindered, but we can't not be defeated. Notice, first of all, in verse number 29, for whom He did foreknow. For whom He did foreknow. Now, we know, first of all, that there's nothing that God doesn't know, right? He knows everything. He knows everything about you, everything about me, everything about the world. He knows. God's foreknowledge. What is God's foreknowledge? God's foreknowledge speaks of His knowledge that relates to the future. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what I'm going to face tomorrow. He knows what I need today to be prepared for tomorrow. His foreknowledge. I'm so glad today to know that God knows tomorrow. There's no limit to the past and the present of His foreknowledge. He knows all. He makes known the end from the beginning. He knows all about it. His foreknowledge. God, by His foreknowledge, through the prophets, enabled them to foretell the future. That's why He had prophets. Prophets did not have foreknowledge. Prophets were given by God through the inspiration of the Spirit of God what to say, what to declare, the prophecy that would take place. For example, we find in Micah 2 that the prophet foretold that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. That was the prophet. He foretold that. But we're talking about the foreknowledge of God. The prophet had no more knowledge than any man because he was just a man. But God inspired him by the Spirit of God to be able to foretell the future, whatever's going to happen. This is the way God worked. Also, that He would suffer, He would suffer for us in Isaiah chapter 53. That was foretold by the prophet. It was foretold. Also, that He would be raised from the dead. The psalmist wrote that. He would not only die, but He was going to come forth from the grave. This was foretold by the prophets. But we're talking about the foreknowledge of God. See, when God, in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth, God knew all this. There was nothing He didn't know because of His foreknowledge. His foreknowledge. Other passages in the Bible indicate God's foreknowledge is of people. He sets people apart from Himself to enable to do that. What does His foreknowledge mean? His foreknowledge means to set one's affection upon beforehand. In other words, God's affection was displayed beforehand upon us before it ever take place. His foreknowledge. His foreknowledge. See, it's not what God foreknew, but it's who He foreknew. It says right here in verse 29, for whom He did foreknow. For whom He did foreknow. Not what He knew, but who He knew. See, God has prior knowledge of all people, everybody in the world. But He foreknows only those who are His redeemed. He foreknows only those who are redeemed. You know, God knew when I was going to get saved, if I was going to get saved. He knew when you got saved. He knew if you were going to be saved. That's the knowledge, foreknowledge of God. But until you are saved, we see it takes place. God foreknows, and His foreordains all things. But yet He does not violate your free will and my free will. It's up to us. But He foreknows. He foreordains what's going to take place. In other words, He gives mankind a chance to accept Him as their Savior. But He's not going to violate their free will. He's going to let us make a choice. And according to that choice that we make, we can have the blessings or we can suffer the consequences whenever life is over, you see. But God, in His knowledge, foreknowledge, He knows all these things, you see. So we see that first of all we find in verse number 29, for whom He did foreknow. He did foreknow. You know, I'm so glad that by the mercy of God and the grace of God, He enabled me to be reared and raised where I was, that I could have the chance, the opportunity to be taught the Bible, to be instructed the Bible, and to become a child of God. I'm so grateful for that. As we look around us today, there's a lot of people that never go to God's house. They don't go to God's house at all. I saw those people today on the way to church. You did too. They were on their vehicles. They were going somewhere else. A lot of people still at home. Folks, they're missing the greatest blessing in life. My wife and I went to a funeral yesterday afternoon. Brother Bob Winstead over at Trinity Baptist Church, he passed away. Brother Wingard conducted the funeral. I'm amazed, brother, at his knowledge. I really am amazed at a man's knowledge. He said this. He said, you can have everything in this world that money can buy. Everything that your heart desires in this life. But when you're in the situation right now where Brother Bob is, it's all behind you. You're going to leave it all here. The greatest thing in life is to know Christ as your Savior and give your life to live for Him and serve Him. And let your life be a testimony to your family and to people that know you that you are a child of God and that you serve God. Amen. There's nothing more important in life than that. You can take your worldly possessions. You can do what you want to with them. You can enjoy life, okay, with those things if they don't become your God. But odds are, in many situations, those things become people's gods rather than the true and the living God. There's nothing any more important to know that God, by His Spirit, has reached in your soul, reached in your heart, and nudged you time and time and time again because you heard the gospel, you heard the Word of God, and you, by faith, have stepped out and put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, the one to die for you, and now you're saved. You're saved. You're saved because of what He's done for you. God foreknows, the foreknowledge of God. He knew that you were going to be here today, on this day. What is it, the 25th? 6th. 26th day of January. My, this month's going by fast, hasn't it? It's not, we just celebrated Christmas. But He knew that you and I were going to be here today, on this Sunday. He knows all things. He knew that you were going to be saved and when you were going to be saved. So we're talking about God's foreknowledge. He knows the future. He knows my future. He knows yours. Notice also, very quickly here, we don't have time to get through all these today. Verse number 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did what? Predestinate. To be conformed into the image of His Son. Now, sometimes people think that's a dangerous word to talk about. But I don't mind it at all. Once you kind of get an understanding of it, it's okay. Predestinate. Predestination is to decide upon beforehand. That is to determine. God determined. Who's God? Who does God predestinate? The believer. Amen. The believer. He doesn't predestinate the unbeliever. That's the confusion sometimes that people have. Some people say, I'm predestinated to go to heaven. If I will. If I go to hell, I go to hell. I can't change it. Oh, yes, you can. Right. Nobody's predestinated to go to hell or heaven. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that we go to heaven and the work that Jesus Christ did. Paul makes strong claims here about the priority of God's grace here in salvation, in predestination. See, the Father determines He would fashion those who He foreknew into the image of Christ. He promised that. He predestinated them fully sanctified, set apart. Set apart. See, we have two links in a chain so far. We have the foreknowledge of God. We have the predestination here. In each link in this chain, God is the one acting and the persons are the objects of the action. Okay? God Himself is the one acting and the persons are the objects that are acting. God foreknows persons, not something, about those persons that they would believe. God knows who will believe and who will not believe in life. So we see here today, as we begin this, as we talk about the foreknowledge of God and also how He predestinates the believer. You know, we're so secure in Christ sometimes that we don't realize it. There's nothing in this world that can take me out of God's family. Nothing. I'm not boasting. It's just a fact. The foreknowledge of God predestinated us as believers to be conformed to His image of His Son, you see. So we see that we're blessed people to know that we're saved and on the way to heaven. So many people don't know that, Brother Anderson. They don't know it. They're missing out on the best thing in life because life is going to soon be over. It's going to be ended. If we live to be 100 years old, it's going to soon be over. Well, chances are none of us will live to be that old. But thank God we can know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three, has brought to us salvation that we can enjoy. And God the Father is the one that instituted it. He's the one that started it by calling us. By calling us. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for the Word of God you've given us to be encouraged and enlightened. God, we ask you now, Lord, to instill within us, Lord, what you've done for us. God, that you might enable us, Lord, to do great things for you. Lord, bless your people today. Encourage them today. God, may we be about your business, occupying till you come, sharing with everybody of your love and your grace. Bless now the service we're about to go into. May you have your will and way in the singing and the preaching. Help that person here today that God might be calling if they're not saved. He might be speaking to their heart right now through the Spirit. And God, I pray if it be your will today, I pray, God, they might come forth and receive Christ before it's too late. We give this time to you. Have your will and way now and all that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.